Pastor Richard has just come in, which means we can begin our service. I thank you for coming in this beautiful weather. I mean, it's a blessing that the weather has cooled down today. And we are very happy to honor Joyce together in this beautiful Stonewall Sanctuary. And I pray for the blessings from the Lord upon each and every one of us, that we may find joy of living amidst the time of sorrow. And your presence here is very much appreciated, because you are being a huge source of encouragement for one another. And I ask blessings upon each and every one of us as we celebrate the life of Joyce together. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory, as in baptism. Joyce, Lorraine, Shilit, put on Christ. So in Christ may she be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever believes and lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Dear friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Joyce. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow, hope, in death, resurrection. May we pray together. O Heavenly Father, you are the one who gave us birth. You are ever more ready to hear than we are to pray. You know our needs before we ask, and our ignorance in asking. Give to us now your grace, that as we shrink before the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go before forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in you. And that nothing in life or in death will be able to separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The family has chosen a couple of hymns for us to sing this afternoon. The hymns that Joyce used to sing while she was still with us. And the first one is When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a place. when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that'll be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh, then we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing there'll be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
How many of you can memorize this song? Joyce memorized all this song. I don't. So when we sang together, she just, you know, sang it out of her memory. And I was looking at myself for singing together. That's what happened during our visits. We have three scripture lessons. The family went over the scripture readings and chose the one that appropriately reflects the life of Joyce. And many of you are familiar with the scripture reading. And the first one that I'd like to read is from Psalm 23. And I would say it may be more meaningful if we can read it together. How about that? Okay? Psalm 23. Let's read it all together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I am going to continue reading from John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believing in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And from Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And at this time, I'd like to invite Reverend Richard Bentley and share his thoughts on the life of Joyce.
Let's pray. God, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And I need to warn you, I am time challenged, so I have no idea what 7 minutes looks like. Good. So we'll have fun together. I first met Joyce in July of 2017 when I arrived at the new as the new pastor of the church where she was a member. Of course, she wasn't actually going to church there because by then she was living in the Palms in La Mirada. And she had organized about 6 or 7 years before my arrival this weekly group. She had read something in a Methodist magazine about home church or house church, and she decided it would be cool to try it. Mind you, at that point, she was probably in her mid to late 70s. But she thought, oh, let's go see what happens. So she convinced her then Gail, thank you, to come and do this. And they started meeting weekly in her living room of her apartment. And then they had a problem. More than Methodists came. And by the time I showed up to three pastors, there was Pastor Gail, Pastor John, and then me, they were now in the small dining room at the Palms because they had outgrown her living room. And I had this idea. I never did anything weekly as a pastor. I had not done anything weekly in 35 years of being a pastor. So it was like, I don't think I'm doing this on a weekly basis. And then I met Joyce. And have any of you ever tried to tell her no? It is not for the faint of heart. I was there almost every week for 5 years. I even planned my vacations around it. I mean, I might miss more Sundays at St. Matthew's on Sunday than I would miss at the Palms. Because as I said, Joyce is a hard person to say no to. And as we met and talked and met and lived through COVID, and oh gosh, I was thinking all the things we lived through in those 5 years, Joyce and I really got to know each other well. And Phillips and family, yes, the passage from Revelation, that was one of Joyce's visions for the world. And we said Psalm 23 all the time. And she would have loved the John passage. But as I thought about Joyce, a different passage came to mind. And I wanted to read it to you. This is from Jesus meeting with the disciples, the Sermon on the Mount, and it's early in the sermon, and Jesus says to those that are with him, You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before everyone so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And as I think about Joyce, that's kind of what I think she was doing for a good part of her life, she was trying to let light shine, and sometimes in some pretty difficult places. And I wanted to share some of my memories of her, especially in the Bible, in the Wednesday night gathering, Wednesday afternoon gathering, that might help us figure out how we could let light shine in our lives. Because I think Joyce was a teacher, but I think every life invites us, especially at a time like this, to reflect on the person's life and see how this person might guide us along our life's journey. So the first thing that struck me was, Joyce was never too old to try or learn new things. She was a lifelong learner. And if we're about the business of sharing light and the light of God's love in the world in which we live, we will be learning new things, trying new things throughout our lives. And I found the gathering that, I mean, when I got to the gathering on Wednesdays, it was already in its form. I didn't shape it. I just moved into it. And it was curious. It started with people choosing three old hymns that they knew. And then Johnny Doyle, who wrote original compositions, if you know the Folk Music Center and Claremont, he would play there all the time. He would sing an original composition every week. And I would sit there and go, I'm not sure how this is going to relate to this group of retirees. And they would be thrilled. And then they would get my warmed over sermon from the Sunday before. And then we would have a time for questions. And folks at the Palms asked hard questions. We often spent more time talking about questions than we did listening to whatever it was I had to share. And then there was the end where we would pray, lift up people to pray for and pray for one another. And as we did that week after week, there was almost a sense of we would walk with people along life's journey, because a lot of prayer concerns are not one and done. There we pray for this, and then this week we pray for this. And over time, what we're praying for shifts and changes. And sometimes it feels like this is really beyond prayer, and yet we pray. So part of what I learned from that was Joyce really encouraged people to both connect with what they were comfortable with, but be open to what was new and different and ask some hard questions. And in some ways, she really was a shepherd. I also saw it because over the 5 years, new people would move into the Palms. Joyce was one of the people who made sure a new person did not fall through the cracks. That's where I learned about how fascinating it can be in a retirement community where people will say, well, you really can't sit at this table. This is for my friends. Felt like junior high. When Joyce saw that happen, she found a place at a table for the new person. There's a second thing which I may or may not remember. We'll come back to it if I remember it. But the other thing that struck me was we often think about faith as being certain. And Joyce grappled with faith. And Joyce grappled with life. And Joyce grappled with whether she was good enough for her whole life. I really don't want to get into the ins and outs of all of that, but the one that was probably most visible, as you probably know, she married a second time later in life. And by the time I met her, they were living apart. And she really could not figure out what to do with this relationship. Part of her wanted to say it was over and done. Another part of her said, but you know, if we care about people, you never say we're over and done. So she couldn't quite let go. She couldn't quite fully embrace it. She couldn't quite figure out what to do with it. And there were days it was quite honestly pretty painful for her. So if we think that being the light, sharing light in the world is fun and easy, it's not. If we get caught up in this inner struggle to figure things out that's not always fun or easy, Joyce would probably say to that, amen. And I honestly think that out of that, I can't remember if I've said this yet, she in many ways was a shepherd in that community. And out of her own struggles and their own ups and downs and ins and outs, I think she developed a compassion and an understanding so that when other people would come to her, she wouldn't listen as an expert to tell them what to do. She would listen as somebody who was also involved in the struggle. And how can we do this together? In some ways, I think it's the, if you know AA, it's the AA model. If we are doing, we're helping each other together in life struggles. But out of that, I mean, it just, it's hard to explain. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about the group, for as much as she was the lifeblood of it when she was there, I was just checking with Pastor David. She's been gone from the Palms for over 3 years. The group is doing well. They have 10 to 15 people every week. I don't think there's anybody from St. Matthew's there anymore, except Pastor David who comes. But she founded something that took on a life of its own. And how much more remarkable to do that when she was in her 70s. So the other thing I think she would tell us, wherever we are in life, it's not over. It's not done. God is not done with us. And there are surprising new opportunities in the midst of the chaos and confusion to let the light of God's love shine bright. And sometimes in ways that far transcends who we are. Joyce would invite us, I think, to that lifelong journey of growing, stumbling, occasionally failing, not always being sure what to do, but in the midst of the journey to discover something that is far beyond who we are and what we are, and to share that graciously, kindly, best we can with those around us, and indeed the light of God's love shines bright indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor Richard. I told them that we're going to share 15 minutes of speech. He's given 7 to 8 minutes, and I would have 7 to 8 minutes. He has spoken about 14 minutes, which has left me with the 1 minute.
Time is flexible.
Well, I can tell you one thing. How many pastors are there in the California Pacific Annual Conference?
About 700.
Would you like to know? Out of 700 pastors, the richest pastor is Reverend Bentley. You know what? Why? Because he's named Bentley. Not many people can afford Bentley. So we are honored to have the richest pastor among us today. And I was thinking, maybe I want to change my last name into Rolls, and then change my middle name into Royce or something like that. That may work. Well, anyway, thank you, Pastor Richard, for taking time and coming all the way from Claremont through the traffic, heavy traffic. And I also want to recognize Pastor David Choi from St. Matthew's. He is with us this afternoon. Today, as we gather to honor life of Joyce, we reflect on the profound and lasting impact that she had on each of us. Her kindness, her compassion, and her unwavering faith continue to inspire us, even now. I came to know Joyce later in her life, as many of the folks here in Yucaipa did, and I'd like to share a few personal reflections. And later, you will have the opportunity to share your own. Joyce loved to worship the Lord. She rarely missed Sunday worship on Zoom. Many of us remember how she and June would sit side by side, faithfully participating together. Her devotion was steady and sincere. Joyce was a woman of deep and enduring faith. She had been a lifelong member of St. Matthew United Methodist Church, where she actively served both God and others. Even after moving to Yucaipa, she continued to serve faithfully, becoming involved in both St. Matthew's and Yucaipa United Methodist Church. She was a brilliant woman, and even in her later years, her mind remained remarkably sharp. Perhaps a gift shaped by her years as a teacher. During my visit with Joyce, we often sang hymns together, hymns she loved, and as I shared earlier, I was struck by her clear voice and perfect pitch, and plus that wonderful memory. Those moments were a gift, yet deeply meaningful. When her time came, Joyce was at peace. She did not fear the transition from this life to the next. Instead, she faced it with calm assurance, looking beyond this final passage with quiet confidence. That peace was a powerful testimony to her faith, and it brought comfort not only to her, but also to those of us who witnessed it. Through all of life's trials, Joyce held firmly to the truth that this earthly life is temporary. She understood that life does not end here. It continues beyond what we can see. This life is a preparation for the next journey in God's kingdom. Joyce lived faithfully for the Lord Jesus, and we trust that she has now been received into that place God has prepared for her. Our lives here are not without struggle. Pain and suffering are part of the human experience. Yet our faith reminds us that death is not the end. It is, in many ways, God's act of healing. God, in his mercy, saw that Joyce had carried her burdens long enough. Her labor is now complete, and she has been fully restored, free from pain, from weariness, and from the limitation of this earthly body. She is now clothed in newness, whole, strong, and at peace. In that eternal life, there is no more mourning or crying. All suffering has ceased. Through Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, and rose again, we are given the promise of resurrection and eternal life. We also rest in the assurance of God's grace. God, the Creator of all, has given us life and called us to live it in service and love. And when our time on earth is complete, God calls us home. For those who have faith in Jesus, we do not stand alone. Christ stands with us as our advocate. Despite our shortcomings, we are receiving to God's kingdom, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. Today, we hold on to that hope. We remember the joy she brought into our lives, and we cherish the moments we shared with her. Though we feel the pain of separation, we do not grieve without hope. May Joy's legacy live on in our hearts. May we find comfort in knowing that she is at peace. We celebrate a life well lived, a life marked by love, faith, and devotion. We give thanks for the blessing she was to her family, her friends, and her community. As people of faith, we celebrate not only her life, but also God's healing and restoration of her. Thanks be to God for the ultimate healing upon Joyce. Amen. And
watch the slideshow. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind. She lives to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
Is a burning thing, and it makes
a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
That was amazing, Damien. Thank you so much. That was really good. Before I start the eulogy, I just want to share a little bit. Mom and I spent a lot of time in Mexican restaurants having lunch. I just have to say she did enjoy that very much. And about 8 or 9 months ago, I asked her to start telling me her story, what she wanted people to remember about her. So I recorded a whole bunch of her story of her early life in this notebook. Too much to put in her eulogy, but I am going to refer to this, and I am going to quote it a few times. So I wanted you to know where it came from. It's her words that she told me. Here we go. Oops. All right. My mother, Joyce Lorraine Stouffer Schlitt, was born on June 25th, 1931, exactly 6 months after Christmas and in the beginning of the Great Depression. She was born in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which Mom used to love to tell us is famous for being the home of Rolling Rock beer and the birthplace of Arnold Palmer, both the golfer and the beverage, okay? Her mother, Bessie, told her that she had been born in a log cabin. Joyce was so small that her mom and grandmother wrapped her in a blanket and kept her warm by placing her on the oven door. What a cozy way to start a very long life. Mom's sister, Rachel, was born about a year later. And during that year, her dad, Earl, and Bessie moved the family to a small farm in Hudson, Ohio. Farming did not go well for the family, so the family moved again to Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. I don't know how long they lived in that rental, but Mom did share a story of when they moved to their forever home that they bought on 630 Nutwood Avenue, again in Cuyahoga Falls. While Bessie and Earl were busy packing up their house, Rachel and Joyce climbed into the empty kitchen cabinets to play. The girls were having a blast until they shut the cabinet doors, and then they could not open them. They were very afraid that they might get left behind. So they screamed their heads off until they were found. I didn't think they would really get left behind, but I can imagine being that little girl, you know, in the cabinet. It's dark, scary. Mom shared with me lots of great memories from her childhood. She remembered long summer days being barefoot and endless games of Monopoly that they would just take breaks from to go ride their bikes or climb trees. Bessie always had a garden filled with vegetables and roses. Mom loved to pick the tomatoes and eat them, letting that juice just roll on down her chin. And Christmas was a big holiday for the girls. And Mom remembers spending hours and hours poring over the Sears and Roebuck catalogs, working on picking out the perfect toy that they hoped Santa would bring. One year, Mom had her heart set on a Shirley Temple doll, and she got it. Another year, her dad, Earl, fell ill with the flu or pneumonia and was not able to work. Mom remembered that her mom made these things called mustard plaster, which I had to look up. I didn't know what that meant. Mustard plasters are made of a paste of flour and dried mustard, and they put it on a cloth and then applied it to the chest. And that was a way to create heat and to clear congestion. Well, they worked, and her dad got better, but not in time to get back to work before Christmas. Not to worry, as the firemen saved the day. They came to the house bringing Christmas gifts for Mom and Rachel. Mom couldn't remember what gifts she got, but she did remember how impressive the firemen looked in their uniforms. That was something that really stayed with her. When Mom was 4 years old, the doctor came to the house with his black bag. Rachel and Mom were taken to their grandma's house, and when they returned home, the girls were told, "You have a new baby brother named Danny." The day before Mom started first grade, her father sat with her on the back steps and patiently taught her to tie her shoes. It took a while, but with his patience and her practice, she mastered it. And according to Mom, her father was always patient with her. Even when she did something wrong, all he would ever say was, "Now what'd you go and do that for?" Mom's brother Hal was born when she was 11. She didn't share a lot of stories about when he was young with me, but I remember that he did show up to someone's wedding, and it might have been Mom's with a black eye, but I don't know much about his childhood. Mom loved all aspects of school, except she did not like Latin when she was in high school. And she loved music. All that music that Damien played in there, those were lots of her favorites, especially the big band stuff. She played the piano, and to me, more impressively, the marimba, which is this huge instrument. And it's similar to a piano in terms of the way the keys are laid out, but it's played with mallets, and you have to, and different mallets to give it different sounds. She was quite good at it, too. Mom played the marimba in competitions and did quite well in those as well. The hard part of playing in the competitions was getting the marimba there, because this is, I mean, look. Ta-da! It was like literally like this big, okay? And then had to be taken apart and put in these big boxes, and then they had to get put in the truck or whatever Grandpa put him in, and get to the place and then put it all back together. So it was a big chore to move that thing around. Anyhow, I've lost my place. There it is. That is a bit more to do than just taking a flute or a violin to a competition. Mom played the marimba during concert season, but she had to play the bells during marching band season because obviously you couldn't take a marimba out on the field. So. And Mom loved her church. She and Rachel were very involved in the youth group there. There was about 20 teenagers in this close-knit group. They met every Sunday afternoon for one fun activity or another, and that's where Joyce met her future husband, John. Joyce told her sister that he would make a good husband for someone, but not for her, as she already had a boyfriend. The sisters and John also sang in the church choir. John would bring Joyce and Rachel home after choir rehearsals on Thursday nights. John was one of their friends that had a car. I'm going to quote her on this next part. The youth group had a hayride, and John took my sister Rachel. I had a boyfriend at the time. On the hayride, John got a little fresh with my sister. Next day, I called him up and chewed him out royally. And that's when he fell in love with me. But he had to wait till I was free. Joyce was away at her second year at Otterbein College when John found out she had broken up with her boyfriend. And that's when the serious courting began, especially after Joyce came home for winter break. John proposed, and Joyce said yes. He gave her the diamond engagement ring on what would become my birthday, January 21st. Shortly after Joyce and John were engaged, John was drafted into the Army to serve in the Korean War. Joyce finished her sophomore year at college and moved back home with her mom and dad. I'm going to quote Mom again on this next part. John was in boot camp as we were planning our wedding. Boot camp was near Washington, D.C. John had to come up to Akron, Ohio, 2 weekends in a row to take care of the marriage license. The second weekend was the one of our wedding. The commanding officer had given John permission to leave early, but his supervisor would not let him go until midnight. He had to drive as fast as he could and barely made it to the courthouse where Mom, Dad, and I met him. Imagine driving all night. Our wedding and our reception were at the church at 3 o'clock on October 20th, 1951. The whole congregation was invited. We memorized our vows, which put us under a fair amount of pressure. We got through the vows beautifully, and when we kissed, we almost collapsed on each other, making the kiss a long one. All right. John completed basic training and then shipped overseas to Korea. He served as a supply sergeant there. He wrote to Joyce every day. He was injured, but thankfully not seriously. He took some shrapnel in his forehead. Meanwhile, Joyce lived with her new in-laws, Mike and Helen Schlitt. And while she was there, she worked for Firestone Rubber and Tire, doing accounting work. John returned home, and that's when they got a house of their own in Akron and started their family. Lloyd Michael was their firstborn, coming on September 17, 1953. He was a beautiful baby with blonde hair and blue eyes. Joyce was so happy to be a mother. I was born about 5 years later, on January 21, 1958. It was reported that I was not as beautiful as Lloyd. I was dark-haired with dark eyes and a big blue vein across my nose. Joyce asked the nurse to make sure that I was hers, as she found it hard to believe how different I looked from Lloyd. The nurse informed her that she had to keep me. Jonathan Earl was born 2 years later. He was blue-eyed and blonde, just like Lloyd. But he came with a bundle of energy. He was quite the handful, so much so that Mom and Dad decided not to go for the fourth child that they had considered having. Mom decided that as much as she loved being a mom, she also wanted to go back to college and get her teaching credential. Dad supported her decision, and within a few years, Mom graduated from Akron University and began teaching first grade that very next school year. I was also in first grade at the same time. It was kind of a funny thing that happened. So she'd come home and talk about what she did, and I'd tell her what I did. And it was what was really interesting is we were both learning. She was teaching reading, of course, and I was learning to read with a brand new series called, some of you may remember this, Fun with Dick and Jane. Remember that? That was a good series of books. In the summer of 66, two things happened that prompted us to move to California. Both things are related to ragweed. Dad was very allergic to it. He had an asthma attack so bad that it landed him in the hospital for 2 weeks. I was exposed to ragweed while picking vegetables on a farm, and it caused me to have a severe allergic reaction, which landed me in the allergist office. The allergist highly recommended that Mom and Dad move the family to California, as ragweed does not grow here. And that's what they did. They came to Los Angeles over Mom's spring break, and they both found jobs. Joyce got a job teaching first grade for the next school year at Daniel Phelan School in Whittier City. And John found work as a draftsman, and his job was starting in a few weeks. Upon returning to Ohio, John packed up a trailer and moved to a ranch house in Bassett, California, and began his work there. Meanwhile, we all finished the school year and packed up our very large house in Akron. It was huge. It took so long. Shortly after school was out, the moving van left, and Mom packed us three kids and our dog Tiki into Mom's pretty much brand new 66 Mustang, which, if I remember right, didn't have any air conditioning. And we started our big adventure moving all the way to California. I think about what a huge decision that was that Mom and Dad made, and how brave my mom was to make that long drive. Mom made the trip interesting, too. She made sure we always had snacks. We played, you know, all those car games that you play, looking for the different licenses from all the different states and all those things. And as we traveled, we always had a pool at each motel, and that was what us kids looked forward to the most. Especially, it was because it was summer. It was hot. And remember, there was no air conditioning in that car. Dad met us in Wyoming, and he drove us the rest of the way. We arrived in L.A. on July 4th, 1968. It was hot and smoggy. They kept telling us, I remember this, they kept telling us that there were mountains. This was July, right? Honestly, as a kid, I never saw the mountains until December. That's how smoggy it was. It was really bad in those days. But moving on. Mom and Dad had been members of the First Evangelical United Brethren Church in Akron. After settling into our home in Bassett, Mom and Dad started searching for our new church home. After attending services at several different churches, we decided that St. Matthew's United Methodist Church in Hacienda Heights would be our new church home. Mom got us all involved. Mom and Dad joined the choir. We attended Sunday school and Sunday worship services. We also attended confirmation classes when we were at the appropriate age. Eventually, all three of us kids joined the choir, too. That was fun years. And I joined the youth group where I enjoyed activities like Mom and Dad did while growing up. In 1971, Mom and Dad bought their big house in Hacienda Heights, two stories and enough bedrooms that each kid got their own room. All it was missing was a yard, which we all helped put in, and a pool, which we had to beg long and hard for. But we got it. It was fun to watch the pool getting built, and if I remember correctly, it was done around the 4th of July that year. There are so many wonderful memories we made over the 50 years of Mom and Dad living there. Swim parties, holiday barbecues, special dinners at Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, birthdays. After us kids all got grown up and moved out, there was more room for relatives to come visit, and more gatherings were held. Mom was in her glory when she was surrounded by loved ones, enjoying time together in her home. Grandma Joyce created many great memories for her grandchildren, too. She made her famous honey cookies at Christmas with them. They got to use the cookie cutters and watch them bake. And the more fun part was then icing and decorating them and eating them. She read books with them and watched movies with them. She took them to Disneyland and shared her Christmas angel tree with them. For the adults, she shared her love of tequila, especially taking shots of tequila. She even planted a lime tree. Those green smiles, that's because she planted that tree. So there were fresh limes to go with the shots. And Mom had a unique way of taking a shot. I just have to show you because she was funny. She would she had these really beautiful crystal glasses, and she would bring them out on a tray with all the accoutrement, the salt shaker and lime wedges and all that stuff. And then we'd have to practice because some of us weren't as good at it as her. So we'd have to, you know, practice salt, tequila, lime, salt, tequila, lime. And then we would get into it. No, but the way she would do it, she'd get her liquor salt, she'd take a big sip of that tequila, and then she wouldn't go right to the lime. She would go, go, and then get the lime. I mean, she really, really loved her tequila. But you have to remember, in those days, it was probably like Jose Cuervo, you know, the big, yeah, it wasn't the best tequila, so it needed the salt and the lime. Many of the celebrations included gifts and cards, and Mom loved her cards. I have proof of that, as she saved some favorites that I found in her apartment. She especially loved the cards that sang and moved when you opened them, and she kept some of those in her walker. She did that. And if she was out and about and there was somebody that was feeling down, she would just whip one of them out for cheering up, like this one. A lot of them are about tequila, believe it or not. I know, I'm in a Methodist church, and you guys don't believe in that, but it's okay a little bit here and there. All right, Mom and Dad retired in 1994, and then they started traveling the world. They took many cruises, Alaska, Mexico, the Caribbean, the Panama Canal, Hawaii, and the Danube. They also took a trip to Finland to see their friends there, and they were really much more than friends. They had become part of our family. They had an amazing time on all of their trips. Life wasn't all fun and games, though. In 1999, Dad had a stroke, and in 2003, we lost our dear Johnny to a massive heart attack. That was a very hard time in our lives. Dad was given many therapies to help him regain his speech, strength, and mobility, but he was unable to fully recover. The stairs in the big house proved to be enough of a challenge that a chairlift had to be installed. But with that, life went on in Hacienda Heights. Mom and Dad enjoyed the pool, the patio, and each other's company, and again, having people over. In 2011, Mom and Dad decided to sell the big house and move to a senior living community named the Palms. Mom needed more help with Dad, and the Palms offered caregiving services along with many other advantages. Mom made many new friends and got involved in a lot of activities. She became a resident ambassador there who helped new residents get acquainted with their new home. The first few years of living in La Mirada, she was still driving to Hacienda Heights to continue attending services and activities at St. Matthew's. Eventually, that became too much for her, but she came up with a beautiful solution. She worked with Pastor Gail at St. Matthew, and they started holding a home church service on Wednesday afternoons at the Palms. It started with just a few people coming to her living room, and it grew and grew. In fact, Pastor David Choi from St. Matthew's is still holding services there on Wednesday afternoons. He told me that there are 15, 20 people that come each week, and Mom was very proud of making that happen. In 2014, Dad passed away. He was 84 years old, and Mom and Dad had been married for 63 years. Mom surprised the family and made a go at a second marriage with David Burton. The marriage only lasted a few years before they divorced. Mom wondered aloud often as to, why did I marry David? And my response was that he brought something to your life and that you definitely brought a lot to his. Prior to their relationship, David had little faith and knew little about the Bible. Mom brought these to David, and at the end of his life, he was reading the Bible daily. After the divorce, Mom moved to a smaller apartment at the Palms and continued enjoying life there. I think this is right. 2023, Lloyd convinced Mom to move closer to him, and that is how she came to live at the Golden Oaks. It was a big adjustment moving away from all her friends there, and yet she started making new friends on day one, starting with June Fisher. I remember meeting her in the hallway. It was on a June day, too, so it was really clever. She joined the Bible study group and the prayer circle, and Mom started attending the Kaipa United Methodist Church via Zoom in June's apartment. Mom became an associate member of the Kaipa Church while keeping her membership at St. Matthew's. In the last couple years of her life, Mom deepened her relationship with God and Jesus. She continued to read the Upper Room and her Bible every day. Through the Bible study group, she came to know and understand the Bible better. Yes, you're right, Pastor. She really did continue learning to the end. Mom loved God and Jesus and knew she was going to heaven soon. After she was put on hospice care, the family gathered to say goodbye. She got to see almost all of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She was animated, funny, and even a little bit of her bossy self. Mom would tell anyone getting tearful, "Don't cry, I'm going to heaven." And she did. Mom is an angel now, and I know she's here with us. She collected many angel ornaments for her Christmas tree, more angels than we can keep. So Lloyd and I went to invite all of you to the fellowship's hall after the service for refreshments, and more importantly, to please take a few of her angels home with her, you. Okay, a little memento. We'd really like to share those with you. A memento of our beautiful Mom. The end. I remember there's a step this time.
Wonderful words from my sister. I'm going to have a hard time following up with that. But my mom gave me a deep love for music. During our years in Ohio, we bought a nice baby grand piano that was well used. That was, you know, had been built somewhere around 1900, you know, and we picked it up in the early 1960s. And she sat and played at that piano, and she had one book that she had a lot of favorite songs out of. And, I inherited the piano, and I inherited most of the music books. And I called my sister the other day and asked if she knew where this one book was, because I thought it had been handed over to her. And it turned out it was still in my collection there. It had just lost its cover, because I was looking for this bright kind of turquoise cover that this book of songs came in. And this that I picked out was one of the ones that she played a lot when we were growing up, you know. So, the text of this, you know, is kind of based on the passage from Revelation that we just read. And I'd like to share it with you now. I'm going to try. Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest.
Then I thought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, and dawn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the New Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the New Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna
I get to know a lot more about Joyce and about the family. And as you all have heard Lloyd sing, definitely Lloyd got his mom's DNA. I mean, you know, what, 92, right? When she passed? 94, right. And a 94-year-old lady singing with a perfect pitch. I wonder about that. Now I know. She was a musically gifted. At the end of the service, I'm going to have the family line up in the back so that you all have a chance to greet the family. And then if you would, please stay for the refreshment. Go straight out of the sanctuary through the breezeway into the fellowship hall. The family has prepared a lovely refreshment. Except there's no tequila, no salt, no lemons. So maybe you can just and have some refreshment, right? Alrighty. Well, this is a time for you to share. If you have any thoughts, any memories, your sharing is going to be a great encouragement and comfort to the family. So I encourage you to do that at this time. So
would you like to? Go ahead. Any place. You want to come front? Yes. Yeah. Face the whole crowd. Yes, go ahead.
Wasn't expecting to be first. Hello. hello, everybody. It came in a little bit late. Hi, Amanda. Oh, hey, what's up, Mike? man, where to start? Thank you. Wow, how classy. All for all the Zoom viewers as well. Wow. All righty, great start. My grandma was, let me preface this with first saying I'm not a very religious person, but grandma, I really felt the love of God with her. She would always call me on my my walks to work and say that she prays for me, and I felt that. Not until much later, closer to her passing, but I felt it. I always felt that there was a guardian angel on my shoulder. I had a lot of things go my way, and I had a lot of narrow misses with with some unfortunate circumstances. But everything turns out all right. Everything is okay. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. I'm going to try to keep this brief. I did not prepare anything, so this is off the top. my grandma loved me very much. My very early years with her, spent a lot of time with her, and she often reminds me of how much she loved that time with me. I remember having this little bucket of instruments, why I was given such, like a recorder and a drum and a tambourine at such a young age, especially with Grampy, if you remember. He hated that. But I remember that. I remember she would read to me. I have a deep love of reading because of her. I remember The Mouse and the Motorcycle, and I remember Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin and Hobbes is still something that's very important to me. I still have all those old books she gave me on my shelf, still here, still read them almost every night. She also loved the Lakers. one of my fondest memories was watching the finals with her. I was right there with her. We were jumping up and down celebrating. Over the Celtics, too. Very fun. I'm a tapestry of everybody who has loved me, will love me, people in this room, people I will soon meet in the future. I'll miss her very much, and I carry a lot that she has given with me, a lot that she's gave me. Glenn Miller. She used to play this greatest hits record, and that was, I swear that was the only CD she had for a very long time. Yeah, that and the Beach Boys, but Glenn Miller was the big one that has stuck with me. I swear I have that album etched into my brain to this day. I swear, years, just that album. I think, again, I carry that with me. Will carry that with me. It's all the small things that you don't really think about. Again, I'm a tapestry. I'm a tapestry of everybody who's loved me, and Grandma, Grammy, is a big part of that. I'll miss her very much. Miss her for a long time. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for sharing.
zipper. But my pants do fall down. I just want to say the last time I seen my Aunt Joyce was at Lloyd's 50th anniversary party. And when we were leaving, my mom stayed with her. And we were leaving, and she kissed my mom on the lips and said, "I'll see you in heaven." And I said, "That's dark." And she said, "No, it's not." And we really didn't see her again since then. So, and my mom will be 94 this year. They were very close, loved each other very much. But my mom couldn't make the trip. She would have loved to have been here. Got a lot of stories, but I won't bore you.
You were the namesake.
Oh, yeah. Her name is Joyce Lorraine. My name is Lorraine Gale, so I was named after her. But I go by Lori.
Great. Lori is a great name. Anybody? Yes.
I'm not going up front, so. Yeah. It's up and it's hidden, so it's all good. So I'm the second oldest grandchild of Joyce. I loved her very much. She treated us grandkids with a lot of love, did a lot of things with us. You know, things changed a little bit after Grampy had a stroke, especially for the younger generation of grandchildren. But I think we all loved the things that she did for us, all the Disneyland trips, having the pass to go there, get to have the day to do our thing and play around, and at nighttime, get to watch her and Grandpa do their dancing out there at Carnation Plaza. At least that's what it was when I was there. She enjoyed going out to the beach and stuff. It took her out a few times. I know Joshua was taking her out. I mean, I don't know if he took her to the beach, but I know he's taking her out in her Mustang not too long before her leaving us here. But gosh, she loved going out to the beach, and she loved that convertible, and we had a few good trips with going out there with her. She might have been a difficult person sometime. We all know that. Not going to deny that. But she did love life. She did enjoy herself. She did enjoy her family. And I enjoyed the time I got to have with her, as I think we all have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I'm coming over there. Maybe you want to be reminded that this whole thing, Zoom, www, World Wide Web, is being broadcasted. So before you speak, you may want to see if your fly's down.
I'll stand this way. I'm not sure that's much better, but hi, Aunt Carol. So this is from my parents. They came out here a lot to visit. They were always graciously hosted. And in competition, my dad built a swimming pool so he could have your mom come and swim. My dad really loved going swimming with your mom.
Anybody?
Hi, my name is Craig. I'm one of the cousins. I probably, out of everyone here, probably the least exposure to your mom. But what I always remember are those trips back east on the summer times when we lived in northern Michigan. They would spend the summer there with my grandparents. And I just always remember every night, dominoes every night. Your mom always dressed in purple, always. And then the hospitality, they always took in grandma and grandpa in the wintertime and got them out of the hellscape that northern Michigan becomes after Christmas. But and then we visited a couple times over the years out here in Los Angeles, and just the love and the hospitality for a distant relative that we barely ever knew, just always warm and open and very generous. So I just want to thank your mom and dad for the love they showed my grandparents. It meant a lot.
Okay, so there are some fun times that we had with Joyce, obviously. One of them was to deal with the convertible Mustang. So Diane and I would go and pick her up, and she'd go, hey, let's go down to the beach. Robin, you drive. Put the top down. Put in either the Beatles or the Beach Boys. And I'd be driving down Beach Boulevard with the top down, going about 80 miles an hour. The best part she loved was taking off or going around a corner, because I'd do it fast, and it'd squeal. And she'd go, woo! Every single time. So we had a lot of fun in that convertible Mustang, driving down the beach, listening to the Beach Boys.
You know, I was wondering, because the Joyce that I saw here down in the Golden Oaks was a bit different from the pictures I saw. And I wonder whether she lost all the weight from turning that corner really fast on convertible Mustang. Anybody? Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mindy, one of the grandkids. I'll keep it short because I am not great with public speaking, but I moved away from California like some years ago and would make an effort to see her when I came out to visit because, you know, we knew that she wasn't going to be with us much longer. But one of my favorite memories of one of those visits was for her 90th birthday. We had a nice party over at Damien's house in Hesperia, and it was pretty hot out, so Grandma wasn't able to get into the pool until, like, the sun had gone down because she didn't do well with intense sunlight. But I remember when we were in the pool eventually that evening, she, you know, looked around and she was just like, I'm so happy. I remember her saying, I'm so happy, because she was surrounded by her family. And it just makes me think of all of the past holidays and events that we'd have at the big house. She was just always very in her element, being just surrounded by her kids and her grandkids and great-grandkids. And that same party, we also got Grandma to dance to Elvis, and that was very fun, after a couple margaritas. yeah, we'll miss her.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike, friend of Joyce's from a long time ago. I got to see Joyce with, like, all these great parts of her life. I was the photographer for her 50th wedding anniversary with John. And then I, good and bad things, I did the slideshow for her son John's funeral. And then she came to my wedding in Hawaii, and then I photographed her second wedding in the home in, where was that? La Mirada. But always, she always had a great smile on her face, and her grandkids are just such wonderful people, and because of Joyce, I think. I mean, they all came, apple. I knew it was some kind of a fruit. Falls far from the tree and stuff. And one quick funny story, I'll keep it short, but I had a girlfriend at the time, and I came in, it was Thanksgiving, and Joyce looks at my girlfriend, Melissa, and says, hey, what are you doing with my boyfriend? And then my girlfriend goes, you can have him. But she was always really funny and great sense of humor, and she'll be dearly missed. Thanks.
Very nice. Very nice. Great.
Maybe I shouldn't ask you any more details behind that. Anybody else? All right.
Next song is going to be In the Garden, also the song that Joyce and I sang together whenever I had a chance to visit. And it's a lovely, lovely hymn and very inspirational. And the song that Joyce also loved. So let's sing together as we remember Joyce.
Thank you. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, a Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his son, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his son, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of all. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his son, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I'd like to invite you at this time to join with me in confessing the Apostles' Creed, which Joyce believed and confessed all her life, and it would be meaningful that we do the same as she did. So let's begin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his Son, only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue to be in the spirit of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for having received Joyce into the arms of your mercy. And we pray that you raise her up with all your people. Receive us also and raise us into a new life. Help us so to love and serve you in this world, that we may enter into your joy in the world to come. God of love, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us, even to this day, for the gift of joy in the days of health and strength, and for the gift of your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and friends, and for our baptism and place in your church, with all who have faithfully lived and died. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our grief, who died our death and rose for our sake, and who lives and prays for us. And as he taught us, so now we pray. And I'd like all of us to join in praying the Lord's Prayer together at this time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now may God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I'm going to have the families to go to the in the back of the sanctuary and be ready to greet the people, if you would. Thank you.